The joy of the prophets was seeing the coming of Jesus from afar. Joy has a spiritual quality to it. It can exist within us regardless of our physical or our material well-being. Joy can bubble and flow like a stream, a spring-fed stream in a dry land. Or the events of life or people can threaten our joy. And we can feel like we are locked away from Jesus and locked away from joy and life. Those of us who have met Jesus know that to meet Jesus means to meet joy. Meeting Jesus brings such joy to life. And to perceive the day of Jesus' advent is to see the source of joy and life coming to earth, to live among us. But the world threatens to remove Jesus from our perception. We are made for joy. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The joy of God is that spring in the desert, bubbling up through the words of the prophets, bringing us joy when we read or when we listen to their words. Abraham saw the day of Jesus coming, and it gave him joy. Or we have the words of Zephaniah the prophet, "Sing aloud, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all of your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst." "The people who walked in darkness," said Isaiah, "have seen a great light. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the rejoicing of your people. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And Isaiah again, as we heard read for us this morning by Sue, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Say to those with a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Your God has come." These words touch the heart of everyone who has met Jesus. And these words can awaken hope and longing in the hearts who have yet to recognize that Jesus has come. All of us are waiting for that day. For we see now only a reflection as in a mirror. But then we will see Jesus face to face. Now we know only in part, and then we will know in full, just as right now we are fully known by God. John the Baptizer knew this joy as well. He had seen a vision of the coming of God's kingdom, and then he heard the voice of Jesus. And he said, "My joy has been fulfilled. I rejoiced when I heard the voice of my Lord." But as we heard in today's gospel lesson, the greatest of the prophets sat in prison. Herod had put him in chains and behind prison walls. Herod could have received the good news of great joy. Instead, the words he heard from the prophet troubled him, and so he tried to control these words. He put John in a prison, allowing him out to listen for a bit, and putting him back behind the walls. But Herod could not prevent the prophet's joyful news from spreading further and further throughout the world. He could, however, prevent it from reaching one person, himself. Herod is an example of the human impulse to shut the prophets up because they trouble us. We try and control when and how we listen to their words, because sometimes instead of bringing us joy, they trouble us. And so in part, we want to lock it away. Instead, we could allow these words to lead us to Jesus for healing, forgiveness, for hope, for joy. Herod was also trying to control John the Baptizer's joy. And it seems from John's words here that perhaps Herod's actions had had an impact on John's joy. John had expressed such joy at the coming of Jesus, but now from prison, John sent Jesus, the message we heard read for us this morning. How did those words sound to you? What was John thinking? When he asked Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" What do you hear in those words? This is the same John the prophet who had announced boldly before a whole crowd of people, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," who said, "I saw heaven and earth open up and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting over Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" But now John, in chains, alone and in prison, sends Jesus a message. "Are you the one?" Meeting Jesus brings such joy. But the events of life, the opposition we face from others, the indifference we face from others, it's like locking us away from Jesus. But walls and chains cannot actually control or contain joy. And so the real struggle was within John the Baptist's heart. We can imagine possibly what he was thinking and feeling. If Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah who has come, then how come things haven't changed? How come bad things are still happening? If Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord, then how come I feel so alone, so abandoned, so forgotten? After everything that I have done for God and for Jesus, if Jesus is the Lord, how has Jesus allowed this to happen to me? Could it be that the prophets felt, as sometimes we ourselves feel, alone, afraid, empty, abandoned? This is the real prison. But John himself showed us the way out. He collected his words, his thoughts, and he reached out to Jesus. He stopped and he searched for Jesus from where he was. And then he waited and he listened. Now perhaps you are not in a prison with walls or chains, but is something keeping you from Jesus? Some doubt based on what you've experienced in life? Some hardship that you are facing? Like John might have, perhaps. Have you wondered, has Jesus come truly when things are the way they are? If Jesus has come, why are things so hard for me right now? If Jesus has come, why can't I hear him or see him? Our preference, I would suggest, our instinct even, is first to seek the answers for our questions, for our doubts, and for our problems, and then to think, "Then I'll believe." Instead, we should hear the angel's invitation to the shepherds and apply it to our lives. "Behold, I have glad tidings, good news of great joy. In Bethlehem, a child has been born for you. Go, and you will find him." The instruction is to go to Jesus in the midst of the confusion and the uncertainty, in the midst of the hardships. It's to go to the person of Jesus Christ. James tells us, in the face of suffering, that we should imitate the testimony of the prophets, their witness. And we might listen to the millions of other believers who have testified to us throughout the years. Certainly in prayer and in reflection, they could, in their dreams, they could see that a new world was coming. They could perceive that health and strength would come one day from God, that there would be good food and drink for everyone who was hungry, that there would be houses for all the homeless, that there would be an end to war, there would be forgiveness for all sin, and creation would be at peace. There would be shalom on earth. The prophets saw all of this, and there was much they did not understand. But what they perceived through all of this was a person. They saw Jesus, even if it was from afar. They saw Jesus coming, and he was their joy. If you have not met Jesus, God's invitation to you is to know that Jesus, his advent, his coming, is here. The day of Jesus' coming is upon us. Jesus is here, and he is ready to share his joy with you. And for those of us, those of you who have met Jesus, God's invitation to you is to be patient, to look to the prophets, to know their joy in the midst of their hardships, so that we might persevere patiently and meet Jesus again. For Jesus will come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.